Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Well, it's the first present service of the semester, and we are going to start it off with a testimony. Tell anybody, testimony. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and let's welcome Ezekiel to share his testimony with us. Church, that was a very, very, very terrible clap. Put your hands together and let's welcome Ezekiel. Hallelujah. You see, you will never know how hard it is to come and stand in front of the church and speak. All right. Please tell us, I'll mention your name, but tell us your name again and where you're calling from. I can see you're in the praise and worship team. God bless you. God bless you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Ezekiel Kobe, a proud member of the 100 Voices Choir.
Wow. A proud member.
Part of
how many
Paris.
Of you can say you're a proud member of a Basanta? Merci. All right. What's your testimony about today?
So my testimony is about how God came through for me during my examination period.
How God came through for you during your examination period. How many of you want such testimonies? Wow. Okay, tell us about it. Move forward.
So, that was last year.
Last year, okay.
End of sem, yeah, end of sem. My friends and I, we have a study group.
Okay.
And we went to the library.
Point number one, okay.
Yeah, went to the library, studied all night, Charlie.
Point number two, okay.
Did whatever preparations we needed to do, and
so you say, okay.
Yeah. And so we felt like we were going to kill the paper.
Wow.
Yes.
How many of you have felt like that before? You've gone to study all night and it feels like you're going to massacre the paper. Okay.
And I made a mistake of not listening to mommy's prayers that day.
Hey, tell anybody mercy.
Mercy.
He made a mistake of not listening to mommy's prayers before he went to write the exams. Okay.
Yes. So when we, they brought in the papers, and like, honestly, it went bad. It was very bad. Yes, but then the following day, I listened to mommy's prayers, and then, you see, whenever she prays, she's always, there's this part where she says, God, have mercy on those who are foolish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have mercy on those who are foolish. There are many of us who've been very foolish during the examination period, using your time to be watching Korean drama with the people with the Korean faces and things, and anime and cartoons and all those things. Say mercy.
Mercy.
Okay?
Yes. And I felt like what I do was very foolish because, preparing and all that, I didn't put in the prayers. I didn't listen to prayers. And, it was a very foolish act. So, I really, listening to that part, I was like, God, have mercy on me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, you listen to the part that mommy said, oh, God, have mercy on the foolish people.
Okay. So, when the results came in, more than half of us failed. But then, by the grace of God, I wasn't part.
By the grace of God, you weren't
part. I wasn't part at all. Yeah.
Wow. Because our mommy prayed for us, and she told God that God should have mercy on those who misbehaved.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who have been foolish.
Who have been foolish.
I was trying to polish it, but... Okay.
Yeah, so that's my testimony. And I really want to encourage each and every single person here that whenever they bring in their prayers, listen to it.
Many of you don't even know where the prayers come from in the first place because you are not connected. Tell your neighbor, mercy. Ask your neighbor, are you connected? Ask your neighbor, are you connected? Have you been getting the prayers? If your neighbor has not been getting the prayers, don't worry. Help your neighbor to get the prayers. Or you can come and see me after service for a small fee. Anyway, so what do you have to tell the church today?
Yes. So please, whenever the mommy prays for us, please listen to it. Don't just take it like, oh, it's another normal examination prayer. Like, have faith and believe in it that whatever prayers our pastors pray for us, it really works.
It really works. Wow. Put your hands together for Ezekiel for a powerful testimony. Now, church, we have a testimony in the house. Are you ready to hear a testimony? Put your hands together and let's welcome Cherise to share her testimony with us. Hallelujah. Oh, put your hands together for Cherise. Amen. And let's put your hands together for the flowers as well. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll mention your name, but please, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Please, my name is Cherise Saki, and I'm from the 100
When they say Cherise, then you say, hi, Cherise. Great, okay.
And I'm from the 100 Voices.
Wow, what a basanta. What a basanta. Yeah.
And I'm also part of the Charisma Constituency.
Wow. Okay, what's your testimony about today, Cherise?
My testimony is about how I received the miracle money from Mommy.
How many of you want miracle money? How many of you are here, you are looking for miracle? Me, I'm looking for some. So tap into this testimony. Her testimony about is about how she received miracle money from what?
I received miracle money last semester.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a Saturday.
Okay.
And then since Friday, I hadn't been experiencing any cash.
How many of you have been there before? Yeah. Maybe yours wasn't since Friday. Yours was since last 2 weeks. Okay.
Yes, I was very broke and I didn't have anything, hadn't shared it with anyone.
Wow. May you never say this in your life in Jesus' name.
Then the Holy Spirit, knew about my situation.
Wow.
I believe the Holy Spirit.
Mommy was preaching to us last semester about the Holy Spirit being your friend. Okay?
So I tapped into Mommy's prayers where she said we won't lack in hunger anymore.
During the examination, Mommy was praying for us, and in one of the voice notes, she said that you will not lack and you will not be hungry. Wow. Okay.
And on Saturday, I woke up prepared for rehearsal, feeling hungry.
Oh.
But I continued to trust God for a miracle.
Wow. And then?
And I also believed Mommy's prayers.
Wow, she had faith.
After finishing my visitations, I was working with one of my friends.
Okay.
And then, as I was working with her, I prayed.
Wow.
Yes. And then I was like, God, call someone to send me money.
Okay.
Then my friend.
A friend sent you money.
Yes. Then.
May you be receiving money from friends in Jesus' name. Wow.
So I decided to check my message, my SMS message. And so when I saw that a student had sent me money.
She received money from a student.
Yes.
Wow.
One of my own students from church.
Wow.
Yes.
So, Cherise, what do you have to tell the church today?
So, I want to tell you all that you should have faith in Mommy's prayers and believe in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And your life will be blessed.
Your life will be blessed. Amen. Thank you, Cherise, for this powerful testimony. Now, church, let's welcome Lady Reverend Humi with a shout.
Hallelujah. Hey, you are really looking like the beginning of a new semester. If you believe that this will be your best semester or ever, give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. How many of you have legs? How many of you can jump? Ladies, if you are wearing heels, you have my permission to take off your heels. You know, we've gone home for a month. By the grace of God, He has kept us. We have been kept. He has provided for us. He's watched over us and He has brought us back safely. And I need you to be grateful by giving Him a shout, clapping your hands. Give the Lord a shout! If your neighbor is not jumping, ask your neighbor, why are you not jumping? You know, we used to make an announcement in this church that by the grace of God, we are children of God and not diplomats. So if you are a diplomat, with all due respect, when you get to the gate, put your diplomacy in your pocket. and walk into the building as a child of God who is grateful to be alive. If you are a child of God, give him a job! This one is free advice. Any girl or boy who cannot jump in the presence of God is not marriageable material. So if you believe that you are a child of God and you are a marriageable material, give the Lord a try. Are you excited to be back in church? Oh, are you? I don't know if you are excited to be back in school, but are you excited to be back in church? Please take your seat. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I take it again. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I know that many of you are coming back from the holidays in different kinds of state. Some are coming back more excited. Some are back not so excited. Some are really looking forward to the semester. Some of you can't wait to see your graduation. In whatever state you have arrived here, the word of God is here. God has anointed an amazing woman, a pastor after his own heart, a shepherd who has been anointed to speak the word that you need to set you on the right path, to make sure that you draw closer to God this semester, and above all, to help you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. This morning, I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to put your hands together as we receive to the stage God's anointed servant, our pastor, our bishop, our shepherd, and our friend. He is Joy Philippe Bruce Mason.
Like this. Thank you for gathering us again after a short time at home. I pray as your word comes, O God, that it will fall upon ready ground. I pray for the spirit of understanding. Your word says when we do not understand, then the devil comes and takes the word away. But today, O God, let there be understanding. To you be all honor, glory, and power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. All right. You're welcome back from wherever you went. Ask your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I hope you went home and not somewhere else. But some of you are very, very dangerous people. Oh. Hey, some of you are very dangerous. Hey. Wow. Wow. So you're welcome back to the second semester. Dr. Corby, it's nice to see you. And it's good to be back here. The present service is back. Amen. and those of you who are refugees from GES and Faith Secrets, next week you'll start your services. Amen. This month we are studying a very, 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 very important topic. But before I get to that topic, let me give you a couple of announcements. The first one is that 2 weeks from now, that's on the 15th, Sunday the 15th, we're going to have our Basonta Sunday. Basonta Sunday. A Basonta is a group or any group that is working right in this church to make the service work. Are you there? And they are going to be highlighted. Right now, we all look alike. But on that week, they are going to choose a color, and they're going to appear in that color. Are you there? There are many people working. It's not only those you see. Yes. Ask your neighbor, are you one of the underground people we don't see? Before you came, some underground people came and arranged chairs. Yes. Before you came. Are you there? The flyers that get to you every single week is somebody's work. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Are you there? Yeah. There are people who take pictures. You think that taking pictures is easy. You try. Every time I travel, I'm frustrated because I'll take the picture. Then I'll say, what I was seeing that I wanted to take the picture of, that's not what I have the picture of on my phone. Anyway, so this is Sunday the 15th. And so I'm saying it so that every Basonta will be aware. Everyone who works on a Sunday towards the Sunday service, you know yourselves. And my hope is that some of you who are just floating in the church, you decide that I'm going to join a Basonta. If I don't have the voice to sing, maybe I have the hands to do photography. Maybe I have the creativity. Something. You know, some things you'll never know till you try. You'll never know till you try. Many people today in this church who work, their job is in graphics. They learned it in church. They didn't do it on campus. And they never knew they could do it until they tried. So ask your neighbor, what can you do that you don't know? What can you do that you don't know? Some of you can act, but you've never tried, so you don't know. You don't know. All right. The second announcement is that our first convention for this semester is going to be on the 11th, from the 11th to the 13th of June. Yeah. I'm not enjoying the temperature of your shout. Our speaker is somebody who I call my bishop brother. And he's somebody who has worked with me all the years from Tamale, all my difficult days. He has been there. And so I feel that it's time for him to come back. He hasn't been here for a couple of years, but he's somebody that you need to hear. So Bishop Atu Dickson will be with us from the 11th to the 13th of this month. Amen. Are you there? Beautiful. So I want you to just be ready for that. But this month, we're going to be discussing every Sunday on a topic called the art of following. The art of following. Our Father has a book by that title, The Art of Following. And many of us think that this book is not an important one. But that's because you haven't thought deeply about it. Are you here? Everything you know is because you followed somebody or you copied somebody. We don't want to write the art of copying because some of you have copied and you said that Bishop Dag says you should copy. So we will not use that word. But everything, please, if you are by a sister, ask her, this hairstyle that you have, you know. You saw it somewhere and you copied. If you are by a brother, tell him, this shirt that you are wearing, this shirt, you saw it somewhere and you decided to buy some, you know. You decided to buy. So don't feel so tish. Are you there? Don't feel so what? Tish. You are not so special. There are some of you, you are walking around thinking you are an original. I'm sorry to disappoint you. The scripture says that that which has been is that which shall be, and there's nothing new under the sun. You know, you should have put that scripture up. I've not sent you to this one. Are you in the church? There's nothing new. There's nothing new. Your first class, people have come and had it before you came. Your third class too. People have come and had it before you came. Your second degree, people have had it before you came. Look at it. Look at the scripture well. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. Are you there? And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Many things that we say are new, they are not new. We are now seeing them. Our Father is always talking about the planets and space. They will come and say, hey, we have discovered a new planet. The planet was there. You hadn't seen it. Turn to your neighbor and say that you are nice, but you are neither a sign nor a wonder. You are just you. It is normal. You know, it's very important for us to remind ourselves, because pride belongs to Satan, and it has a subtle way of sneaking in. So before you are aware, you think that you are something special. You think that something that nothing the world has not seen before. But the scripture doesn't agree with you. The scripture says that your type someday, I mean, any type you are, someday. Are you in the house? So the art of following is something which we need to learn. You see, the art of following, or if you are a little humble, just say the art of copying. And why is it an art? Anything that you see them say, the art of something, it means it can be learned. And you may think that it's very easy to copy. It's not easy at all to follow. It is not easy at all. Because you need to see something. Then you need to see what about that thing you need to copy. Oh, you're not understanding? Many times we copy the wrong thing. Many times. We copy. The fact that something is obvious does not make it right. I will give you an example. Remember when Otto Fister came? Up till today, there are grown men walking around with their pants showing. It was supposed to be fashion. It was copied from somewhere. But they didn't do their research well. They didn't do their research well. Because that thing, it has a genesis not in the coach called Otto Fister. The genesis was from the slave trade days. When they have broken a man, that's how he was supposed to wear his. Yes. You are now saying, you didn't know, you were walking around with your this thing and feeling that you were feeling very fish. You don't know that it means that they have used men to have sex with you. You have been breached, you have been broken. That's what it meant. That's what it meant. Then you saw some funny coach walking around and he was wearing some. Then you two, you have done some. What are you copying? Why not rather copy the discipline of the coach? You are rather copying his, where his trousers are. Grown man, you're walking on the road. No, it's not nice too. It's not clean. But the Bible has something to say about this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. And it says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It says, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy, because contrary to what you think, following is very difficult. You try and follow Bishop Doug for a week and see. Usually you need to relax. You need time to repair. Followers of who? Not followers of those who can make the most noise. Not followers of those who appear the most flashy. But followers of people whose faith and whose patience has caused them to inherit God's promises. They are the ones we need to follow. And it's an art. It's an art. You can be there. Many people admire our Father. Very few follow him. They admire him. They come to his meetings. They talk about how great the word was. They say this, they say that. They say, I'm following Bishop Black. But when you go close, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that resembles the person they say they are following. And that includes some of his children in his house. Ask your neighbor, what are you following? What resembles your father? Your what? If he was your father, what of you resembles him? You see, I can't even ask the question. And so this morning, it's my pleasure to just give you a few points. Now, there's not much time to tackle this topic, so I'm going to do it in a certain way. I'm going to preach 3 points in this service and 3 points in the next service. So that by going on to whatever, you get the full message. Because I can't come back to this particular one. Next week is for another person. Are you there? Because this morning, we're going to unpack what it means to follow Abraham. I know you want to follow Shatawale, but I can't see much to follow. Who else do they want to follow? You want to follow who? Some of the people that you are following, I don't even understand. The person is looking very nice walking over there, but as soon as you look beyond that nice face, their whole life is in shambles. What are you copying? That's why the Bible gave you the kind. What should you follow? People who have faith. And not just faith, they also have patience, because you need the two things. If you say you have faith, you don't have patience, it will not also work. When you plant a seed of maize, you can go up and come down, you can turn cartwheels, it will take what it takes before it gets the best fruit. You need patience. Some of you are walking around, small hold on, that God has said. You are manifesting. Are you in the church? So we are studying the art of following Abraham. Why? Because Abraham is the person referred to as the father of faith. It's like this man, his faith was a different kind. Are you there? Now, you must also be able to see the promises that they have inherited. And if we look in Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we can see that this was a successful man. Because some of you are following something, but I don't know if that thing or that person is successful. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was his nephew, with him into the south. Next scripture. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And in those days, when you were a rich man, these were the things you had. Nowadays, when you are a rich man, you have a currency that is inflatable and deflatable. But if it was our time, you say that he had stocks and bonds. You say maybe he had some crypto somewhere. What again will he have? Maybe he has some Bitcoin somewhere. Then maybe he has some factory somewhere. He had things that showed that he was a wealthy man. It showed he was a successful person. Not only that, he was also married. One of the signs of success is a successful marriage. People think that you can just get up and marry. When you meet Pastor Albert today, ask him whether it is like that. Ask him whether it is that easy to marry. When you sit down, you see men 34 years old, 35 years old, 36. They are not married because it is not on the floor. And that form. It's not that easy to marry a wife. Her father has brought her up all these years, spent money on her. Then you, this somebody from somewhere, we don't even know who you are. Then you have come, you say you want to marry her. How do we know that you are a human being? How do we know what you are, who you are? That's why many fathers, if not all fathers, when they are giving their daughters away, many times they are crying. Oh yes. At engagements, the fathers are crying. Sometimes before you see them walking down the aisle, they are proud that their daughter is mine, but they are like, hey, this is my precious daughter. Who cry? Who cry? Am I giving? Because now this man is not coming to claim that he's a boss. Are you in the church? So it is a successful man who, one of the signs is that he's married. I remember one day, we're sitting in some meeting, and the prophet was talking, and he was speaking about the different temperaments married. And I remember a comment he made about my husband. Because, as you can see, I shout more than he does. I make a lot more noise than he does. And yet my home is peaceful. Then he told the people, he said, this man, he has controlled this woman by wisdom. Yeah. And I'm not easy to control. You can ask my bosses. Are you understanding? That's a successful man. That I've married somebody who is everything that I am not, who is noisy, who is this, who is this, who is, and yet I'm able to be the leader of my home. It's undisputed. Totally undisputed. It's not something we even think about or discuss. Hey, are you in the house? Meanwhile, your father, he has married the Jatabi. Do you know what a jatabi is? It's a baby lion. Your mother is a baby lion and she's chewing the blood. The man is under torment. So Abraham had all these things. On top of that, the Bible says that, look, you know, he had some battles he went through. He fought them. He won them. And the Bible says that by the time he was dying, he was full of age. I mean, he had the years. Are you there? Yeah, he lived to a ripe old age. Not only that, we hear of him again in the New Testament. Do you remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? So even in heaven, Abraham is somebody. Yeah, he's somebody even there. Because they say that when the poor man died, it says that he was carried away into Abraham's bosom. You see, look at that. Sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Are you there? So this man, he was successful by all accounts. And so therefore, comma, he must be a good example for us to study and see what are the things we can learn from him. And the lessons are just 6. And this morning, I'm just giving you 3 of them. So if you want the other 3, when we finish Word Encounter, you go and take that one and add. Now, I know some of you will not do it, but those of you who really want to know, are you there? Are you in the church? Are you awake? Are you alive? Are you happy to be here? Beautiful. Now, the very first lesson that we should learn from Abraham is found in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham obeyed God. Look at the scripture. The Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make you your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You see, when we read these scriptures, we feel that, he was blessed. Oh, he was blessed. But you and I, you better know that the blessing of God, it doesn't come like that. Oh, are you here? As you are sitting here this morning, you are blessed. But you know, your pocket may be empty right now. As you are sitting here this morning, the Lord has called you. You are blessed. But Charlie, you haven't had a new shoe in the past 2 years. It does not negate the fact. That's why he said faith and patience. You need both. Not only faith, not only patience, but faith and patience. Now, here was this man. Master, just stay on the Genesis. Verse 1. Look at something. I'm sitting in my house minding my own business. Then you say, leave the country. Leave your people. Leave your father's house. Do you know the part that pains me? To a land that I'll show you. At least tell me where I'm going. At least say, leave this place and go to Taiwan. Then I know I'm going here. Leave here and go there. Then I know I'm going there. God said exactly nothing. In fact, between Genesis 12 and 13, Abraham seems to have been going around in circles. Because in Genesis 12, you find him at a point in Bethel. In Genesis 13, you find him coming back again to Bethel. And I used to think to myself, if I was his wife, I would have blown a beast. If you knew that you were going to be coming back to Bethel, why did you not just leave me here? You have made me pack up the whole kitchen, pack everything. As you are going those days too, there's no car. The only camel. You have made me go with you. We are back here. Then you should have left me here. You go and come back and meet me here. Push your neighbor and say, it's not like that. It's not like that. Abraham did not know his final resting place or his final destination, but he obeyed God. And this is where many of us, we fall down. You want to know the end of the story before you obey. But that is not faith. The Bible says that in Hebrews 11 that faith is what? Evidence of what you do not see. So if you can see it, it's not faith. What you don't see, what you hope for, is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So you cannot see it, and yet you believe. You cannot see it, and yet you are doing. That is faith. You are doing it believing. And this was the man we are learning about. Here was Abraham uprooting his entire life, uprooting everything that he had known and going somewhere because God said go and did not give him a destination. Are you in the church? And yet it was a momentous decision. Because of this one decision that he made, the whole of his life changed. You see, in this life, please, when I'm preaching, I expect that you are looking up. Looking at me. Yeah. It's not that if you wanted to read your Bible, you should have done it before you came. Or do it after. If you wanted to be on your phone. Are you here? Yeah. You see, I need you to understand the thing a little. And to see that in this life, you are going to make two or three decisions. There are some minor ones, but there are some major ones. By making that one decision, it will have a wild effect on your life. And this was one of them. And he just heard what God said, and he actually did it. And blessings are reserved for those who hear and obey. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. It shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently. Can you give me English that we understand it? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. Verse 2. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And it goes on to list so many blessings. Are you in the house? But the thing is that you need to faithfully obey. Now, I'm very sure that in your mind, you are saying that, oh, but what is it? God has not spoken to me. If God had spoken to me, I will know what it is he wants me to do. Hello? I'm like, oh, at least Abraham, dear God, spoke to him and gave him a direct direction. And that's why he obeyed. Now, Abraham at that time, he didn't have the benefit of the Bible that you have. God has written so many things he wants us to do in the Bible. And some of us, we poo-poo on the Bible. And then we come and say, God has said to me, God has spoken to me, God has said, I had a dream. Shelly, let me just tell you straight away. Shelly, nothing. You are living complete disobedience to the word of God, to the commandment that he has given to you. You are in total disobedience. Then you have the temerity to tell me that he is speaking to you. Push your neighbor and say, it's not like that. Oh. A lot of disobedient people, rebellious people, they just come. Then they want to charm you with their dreams. I'm not moved at all. If I've given you one instruction, you have not obeyed. I've given you two, you have not obeyed. Am I now going to give you a special instruction? As he has written to us a letter, 66 letters he has written to you. 66 letters, 66 books of the Bible. You have not bothered to read the letter. And what you have read, you have not bothered to obey it. Why should he now come and give you a special one that is personally yours? Don't bring yourself at all. Hey. Are you there? That'd be the way you are making your face. Media, I know what I've seen. Be there. That's why I'm showing you Abraham. This man, he had wild things happening, but he was obeying. He did as far as he knew how he did. So when you are reading your Bible and you see something, make an effort. What does this thing say to me? That's why we teach you how to have your quiet time. How does this thing impact my life? You are sitting here. The Bible says that liars are going to hell and you are lying every day. The Bible says that there's no place in heaven for fornicators. You have just finished fornicating as you came to school, now you came to release fence. As you came back now. I'm sorry, here, dear, we say it like it is. I know you want me to be very polite and things, but. But it's very, very, very important, you see, because disobedience is very costly. Disobedience. All our wahala in this world is Adam's disobedience. So, I know you like to blame Eve. But I want to remind you, she's the weaker vessel. And Abraham should have stood up and said, you eat. But he didn't. I thought he's the head of the union. I thought he was the one made first. I thought he was the one commissioned first. And he ate it, and when he ate it, since he finished eating it, sweating, we are just sweating because the curse was that by the sweat of your brow you eat bread. Hey, it doesn't matter the kind of work you do, there is sweat. You think it's only laborers standing in a gutter who's sweating? Go and ask the person sitting in an air-conditioned bank. He has even forgotten the air-condition. And he's sweating under the AC as he's looking for his target that he has not met for the third time. And the axe is over his head that we're going to sack you. Everybody is sweating. Are you there? Women, as we are there desiring marriage, it is a curse. Ah, I don't know why you are behaving as if your Bible is different from mine. All this wearing of white guy and things is just something. We are just trying to cover something and make something look nice. Genesis chapter 3. Is that what? And her desire shall be for her husband, and he shall rule over her. Every creature on this earth is looking for freedom. Dogs are looking for freedom. Baboons are looking for freedom. Snakes are looking for freedom. Only the woman is looking for somebody to rule over her. And after he has finished ruling over her, she's not even able to understand that. Oh, please, don't bring yourself at all. Some people are very disappointed because the way you are looking forward to marrying. If we didn't paint it nicely for you, some people will not marry. So you let us paint it nicely. As you have come, pam, 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 we will wait for you. We will stand for you. We will clap for you. We will tell you are very beautiful. We will say you are nice. We will say you are that. It's the end. If you like, marry a wicked man and see. No. You see, these curses that came in, they are curses. They can never change. You can only mitigate. So you mitigate when you find a good job. You mitigate when you find a good man. But curse, it is. And I'm saying to you that disobedience brings a curse. So you think it's difficult to obey God. It's harder to disobey him. The Bible says that, let's go to Romans 5:19. In the same way as by one man's disobedience, look at it, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you in the church? Yeah. So obey God. Some of you, when you are doing something in the church, you're working in the church, you think that it is a human being who has called you. Because God usually and often works through a human being. If you look through the Bible, you'll see that he's always working with a human being. He goes in Exodus chapter 3 and he tells Moses, I've come down to save the children of Israel. And then in Exodus 3:10, he says, go ye therefore. He sends Moses. And that's how he does his things. He'll say, I'm coming to do. That's why Paul will say, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. It is God's choice. He has decided that I will work together with you. So when you come to church and then we are saying that, oh, come and put your hand to this thing. What you don't understand is that God is calling you to serve him. God is calling you to work with him. And then you wake up and you say, then you drop it. Have you not noticed that after dropping it, whatever you expected to happen in your life, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Because the disobedience is more expensive than the obedience. You thought it was just a human being calling you. The church is very quiet. Are you there? Yeah. Now, still under the point of obedience, when you are obeying God, obey him fully. Abraham obeyed fully, but when he was going, he saw his favorite nephew and he added his nephew. God didn't ask him to add his nephew. In fact, the Bible says that I called Abraham alone. Are you in the church? Isaiah 51 and verse 2. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him. So Abraham, out of whatever, added this his favorite nephew. Oh, the boy disturbed him. And many of you are adding somebody to what God has asked you to do. Yeah. Me, I'm just a human being. Sometimes I'll come and say, I'll talk to somebody. I'll say, come, during the ministration, I want you to just lead this song. This song. Before I'm aware, the person has added that person, added this person. I didn't ask you to add anybody. Me, I'm just a human being. A fallible human being. Even me, I don't like it. You see that the church is very quiet. No, I'm telling you the truth. I've not asked you to add anyone. The church has become quiet. Yeah. Because that person that you add, that's where the problem will now come. And after adding Lot, Lot disturbed Abraham. Abraham had no peace until he separated from Lot. The guy felt, how you are called, they called both of us. So at a point when Abraham had become rich, after all, you're working with the rich man, Lot also had become rich. Then their headsmen began to quarrel over the grass and this and that. And instead of Lot to gather his workers and say, hey, you people, do you know how we came to be here? Be quiet over there. He was also watching until Abraham came to solve it. And Abraham told him, okay, you choose which side you go, then I'll choose the other side. Then he chose the best side. Your face like a tattoo. they just added you. You were not the main blow man. Now, as we are deciding who is doing, who is going, you have taken the best for yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen, God has called me. He didn't add you to me. Because when you go and call that, when you go and play with a child, do you know that after 15 minutes, the child thinks you are a child? You just think about it. When you are playing with a child, after some 10, 15 minutes, they think you're also a child. Amen. So when God, you are here and you have been told, come and start a bar center. You may think it is just the voice of your ugly shepherd, but what you don't know, what you don't know is that it is God speaking to you through that person. Yeah. And then when my shepherd speaks to me, I know that God is directing me. I just go. And but what if you make a mistake? What if I make a mistake? You, as you are sitting there, what have you heard? I would prefer to go and I've made a mistake. God will have mercy on me. Than I should have gone and I didn't go. When we were going to Tamale, we knew that God was sending us to Tamale. When we come to Kumasi, we had not heard anything. So I shepherd who called and said, do this. We have done it. Is it not obvious that God has sent us today? 15 years down the line. Is it not obvious? Yeah. But you'll be there questioning, okay, then I'm going to pray about it. Go and pray about it. You were there and God spoke to your shepherd. Be there, go and pray about it. Today when we came to church, they said we shouldn't pray. Holy Spirit, can you slap that one out of his seat for me? Who said you shouldn't pray? You were sitting there and God sent a message to you through your shepherd. Obey the thing. And just move and stop being too known. Quiet time, no cry. How much are you doing? If God even speaks, who better? Don't even bring yourself at all. The church has become tenacious. Amen. So eventually, Abraham had to separate from Lot. And the interesting thing is that when they separated, God now returned and started to talk to Abraham again. He now began to reveal to him, I'll give you all this place. And it included the place Lot had gone. That's Abraham. So the first thing we are learning from him, obey. Obey and obey fully. Number two, I told you I'm sharing only three. The art of following Abraham is the art of having faith in messages from the Holy Spirit. Having faith in messages from the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. It says, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. To say that you are following Abraham is to say that you are walking in faith. Now let me explain something. People want to feel faith. They want to feel something. But I came to tell you today that your faith is a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. Are you there? Hello? Choose to believe. That's why I say it's a decision. I have decided that I believe God. I have decided that I believe. That is faith. That is faith. So if somebody wakes up now and comes to threaten you, I will kill you. I'll finish you. Many of you will start to run in fear. But the person of faith will say, me, my life is in the hands of God. It's not given to you to end it. Because you have chosen to believe God. And this is where many people miss it. They miss it because when the threat comes, you feel some fear. When the threat comes, you feel that I'm not so sure of myself. I came to announce to you today that we are not discussing you. It's not faith in you. I can tell you how that one will end. Or you can't tell how it will end if you believe in you. You believe in you. Somebody who doesn't know what will happen at 11 o'clock today, you are believing in you. Ah, see how you are quiet. Mo believe in mo. And that's why half the time the Lord has to take his time and show you that you are not doing nothing. You are nothing before a decimal point. Nothing. A mosquito can change the grade. Have you seen a mosquito before? Your grade for a paper, a mosquito can change it. Because the mosquito bit you, the plasmodium was working, your head was paining, you felt like throwing up, you are seeing things double. It was like, yeah. So when you went to write the paper, I did it. A mosquito. And you, somebody that a mosquito can you. You are believing in yourself. I've left you for you. Boy. Yeah, I prefer to have faith in God. The church is very quiet. You know, one of the blessings of living in a poor country is that it leaves you no option but to walk in faith. And so people in poorer countries, we usually have far more faith than people in richer countries, because you'll be there. You can see that according to your pocket, you can never have a car, but you have a car. You see that according to your pocket, you can never have a house, but you have a house. According to your pocket, you can never travel, but you are traveling. According to your pocket, on this 1st June, you have no idea how you will survive to the 14th of June, and yet you'll be alive and well on the 14th of June. And you wouldn't even have lost weight. Hey, I tell you, if you don't know that there is God, you are really obtuse. Nothing in our nation makes sense. How many times have they not tried to shut down the economy of the US? We are here. We don't have money. We have made budget. You have never heard us wake up and say, we are shutting down government. Oh, we will boldly write the budget that we don't have the money for. Charlie. Hey, it's really something, though. What a place. What our everything, it works. You just have to know how it works. it doesn't work or it works. You'll be sitting down there saying that, hospitals don't work. It is not true. It's not true. Some of you have been to hospital already and come. Yeah, it works. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Honestly, we are a nation of faith, I tell you. You may not even recognize that that's what you have. When you came to school in first year, you knew your father didn't have any money. But you came. What do you expect to happen? And you are in your 30. Oh. I'm just showing you that you have faith. You just didn't know it was faith. You knew you hadn't paid all your exam fees. But you went to sit in the exam room. And you wrote the paper. And nobody came to sack you. You didn't know that you have operated something. The church is nicely quiet. Young man, you better get off your phone before something bad happens to you. Are you there? It's faith. I want to turn to your neighbor and say, maybe I live by faith. I live by faith. Some of you, there are two or three of you in school at the same time from the same family. Your father's pay every month is 12,000 Ghana cedis. When you are coming to school, he gave each of you Your school fees, 3,000. Your hostel, 3,500. 6,500 times 3. When he has finished, he's giving you pocket money. You should ask yourself how. And he has not stolen anybody's anything. Oh, cry. Oh, yes. Me, Mom, dear, I believe that if I need money, I have to just ask God for it. I have to just ask. Recently, I told him I want to go on some trip, Lord. I want a ticket. Yes. The ticket costs 33,000 Ghana cedis. It's not my problem. Is it my problem? No. I want to go. When it comes, I'll let you know. Oh, cry. That particular, because I've said it here, I'll let you know. And I will not steal anybody's money. And I will not use mine too. No, I've told him that I want somebody to give me a ticket. I want somebody to give me a ticket. That's all. Finish. I'll go and come. Number 3. The art of following Abraham is the art of believing in tithing and practicing tithing. This was one of the special things about Abraham, because at that time, there was no rule or law that we know of. Today, the Bible tells us to tithe, but in his day, it was not there. And yet, in Genesis 14 and verse 20, we see, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham was with Melchizedek, who was the high priest at the time. And for some reason, he just believed that he should give it to him. Are you in the house? What's a tithe? 10% of whatever you have. 10% of whatever income that you have. And you see people struggling with it. Are you there? Yeah. But when you understand that you are what you are and you are who you are, not by your own dealings, but by the grace of God, tithing becomes very easy. It becomes very easy. It is hard when you think, this is mine, I have done. And you are walking on very dangerous ground, because God will prove it to you very soon. That is not you. Oh, if he does, that's it. He just has to say, some guy, he was boasting, he had survived some earthquake, and he was boasting. His wife first said that they found him after, I forgot how many days, several days under the thing. And people thought by that time nobody was alive. So they interviewed his wife. He says, "Oh, I know my husband. He's got a very strong willpower." So after a while, the man was fine. They went to interview him. He says, "Oh, I have a very strong willpower. What I do, I do." 3-4 days after the interview, finish. He said, "Heart attack. You can do what? God, I come to show him that you can't do shelly. Then if I shelly." Oh. Many things we are doing, God has just decided to wink on it. Are you there? There was a king in the Bible called Nebuchadnezzar who really felt that, oh, he too, he's somebody. And he was walking around surveying his things, thinking, I've done it well. Oh, God said, hey. The next thing he knew, for the next 7 years, he was walking around chewing grass like an animal, a king. And it was only when he now got up and said, "Hey, God is God." He came back to his senses and gave the glory to God. Are you in the house? Yeah. So when you can see and when you understand that who you are and what you are is by the grace of God alone, tithing is not hard at all. Tithing is not hard. Why are you sitting here this morning well and in your right mind? God has just had mercy on you. Yeah, Christ may say, "You've lost the mind." Others, they woke up one day, they were not well. That's it. They are very quiet. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. I want to show you some guiding. Because you need to see that everything you have and everywhere that you are is by the grace of God. You are an instrumentalist. You can play. Some people can't play. Even if you took your 2 years and taught them, they can't play. And you can play. It's by the grace of God. But you have become so proud because, Charlie, you are a skilled player, so we must bow down and worship. You know, so I thank God that he has given us a lot of instruments, which then will clear you from there. You will not see the light of day. No, I have to say it. I watch some of you, you are choristers. In how many churches do people get a chance every Sunday? They are singing in front of 1,000 people. Where do you get it? Where do you get it? The average choir size is 20. The greatest struggle I have in this house is to get the 100 of you to actually be on stage at the same time. Chese. You can't even see. And you don't even know that your days of singing are limited. Some of you, when you climb down from this stage the last time, that's it. You will never sing in a choir again. Not as a kid, it's just life. Just life. By the time you finish running after baby number one, number two is on the way. By the time you finish with baby number five, you have even forgotten there's something called singing. Are you in the house? You see, this part of the message I'm sharing with you is very, very important. Because when you are educated, the world will tell you you are special. Yeah. But I need you to understand that it's what God gave you. That's all. It's the message. He's giving you something. Why did he give it to you? It's the grace of God. He decided that this is what I'm doing. It's not that we are special. Let's look at this man. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. Can you see what's going on? And the king, his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. So here is this guy. He's finally king and he's believing himself. Push your neighbor and say, don't believe yourself. Yeah. You see. So they drank wine. They went for God's cups. The communion cups that we take and we are using, and some of you just drop it on the floor. In those days, there were golden vessels and they are taking it from the temple and they were just messing around and drinking with them. Charlie, before he was aware, some hand had come to write on the wall. That night, that was the end of him being a king. God can end it faster than you and I ever thought of. Are you in the church? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. Next verse. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. It cannot be clearer. But let's do NLT and see. Some people say the King James, when they read it, their head, they pain them. Honor the Lord with all your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. It's a promise. Honor him. What's the honor? The honor is the tithe. Are you there? Because he tells us in Malachi 3 that, Charlie, you are stealing from me. And he's promised to honor you. Now, here you are. You are as poor as a church house rat. They say the mice that live in the church, they are very poor. There's no food there, so they are very, very poor. And you are as poor as a church house rat. And you say you won't pay tithe. Hey, at least let the people who are rich, let them fool themselves. Niger, you that you don't have, pay it. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. So that you inherit the next part of the promise. You inherit it. He says that as a result of this, recently I was preaching at the camp. I told him I've been tithing for 41 years. Do I look like I'm out of my mind? Do I look mad to you? So if for 41 years I've been taking 10% of what I earn and giving it to God, there must be something good in it. Because it is only a fool who for 41 years will sow a seed on a piece of land that brings nothing. I said, imagine a farmer, the land is dead. 41 years, he's going, putting the seed. Is something not wrong with him? You have just come. And I'm saying to you that, listening, this thing, I've done it. It's working for me. Oh, it's really working for me. When I'm hot, I will remind God that there's no gap. Oh. January, I did. February, I did. March, I did. April, I did. May, I was done. June, is sitting here. So I will do. Are you in the church? So, the person, don't listen to the person who doesn't type. The person you are listening to doesn't even go to church. Number one. So God, Christ, doesn't know him. Leave him. His problems are not your problems. Abraham type. I tell you, when I realized that from Genesis 12 to Genesis 13, he had become a rich man, I was excited. Because what it means is that from 2025 to 2026, you can become a rich man. Yeah. What it means is that from May 2025 to June 2025, you can become a rich man. That's what it means. Yeah. But it's in your hands. Hallelujah. Are you there? It's in your hands. And as you give God of your tithe, it even makes you more spiritual. Let's look at the scripture. This is my last scripture for today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Matthew 6, 21. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." My treasure is there in the house of God. If I look at anywhere that I put money in, it's in the house of God. I'm not surprised my heart is in the house of God. When I'm here, I go to church. When I'm not here, I go to church. Yes. Why? The house of God is something special to me. Are you there? Hey, the church is very quiet. My goods are here. I remember when we're putting the doors, I told the people, I said, support the door. The day you are in trouble, come and hold the door. And tell God, my money is in the door. You, God, when you were hot, I helped you. Today, me, I'm hot. Oh, yes. You are sitting on all your money. This Ghana money, that's like petrol. Do you know how petrol behaves? When you put petrol in a gallon, you close the gallon. The thing will just be going. Jesus, one day you come, your gallon that was full is half. And you'll be shouting at who has taken your petrol. Nobody has taken it. Just saying, Frama. That's how the CD is. If you like, go and put your 1,000 down. Then you come and tell me that Motia has taken it. It's not Motia. Abraham tithed. Hallelujah. Are you there? Abraham tithed. And the Bible says that he was a wealthy man. May the Lord grant us humility to see who we really are, to see that everything we have is from God. Hallelujah. You are a first-class student. It is because God gave it to you. Oh, no, it's because I'm learning. You don't understand. You can sit down. I know people who used to sit down and learn 12 hours a day to fail. Oh, you have not seen some before? Some is not in your class. Have you not seen some Ejuma Moros? All of you are even afraid. It's like, hey, this guy, they learn, oh. This guy, there, but Charlie, the marks are not coming. The marks are what? They're not there. If it was according to our effort, mom dear, then you see somebody, the effort is not even much. Just some normal effort, some small effort. And then God seems to just bless it. Why? Because that's the grace God has given to them. This church, to me, is the grace of God. I see the grace of God at work. Maybe you don't see it. Yeah, but I see the grace of God at work. Most of you, your mother is 40-something years old. You don't talk to her. Why do you come and talk to a woman who is 62 years old? You can't see that is something. Have you seen? It's because that's it. God decided it. If you go and, if I had older people, I don't think they would be here. My age, oh no, it won't work. Because that's not the grace upon my life. I hope you're understanding what I'm sharing with you this morning. I want to prosper. And I want to do well. And I want to see my children prosper. And that's why I'm sharing with you how to follow Abraham. Point one was what? It was what? Obey. Obey. Obey and obey fully. Point two was what? Have faith. Make the decision from today. God, I decide. I believe you. I don't believe my fears. I don't believe my thoughts. I don't believe all the other things trying to God. I believe you. What you say, you said it, that settles it. And third, number three, tithe. If we say we are followers of somebody who through faith and patience inherited the promises all the way that even heaven he is known, I believe that God will hear us. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. You want to speak to the Lord and you want to say, Lord, talk to me. Talk to me this morning. I think that is water, it's not tea. Talk to the Lord for yourself. Some of you, you see, hold on for me. Especially if you are coming from a difficult background, this is your way out. This is the way out for you and then for also those after you, your family. Do you understand? Hello? Are you getting it? Yeah. God has given you a way out today. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me to follow the example of Abraham, that I will obey, that I will have faith, that I will tithe. Pray for yourself for a few minutes. Pray for a few minutes. As they are singing, you just pray.
I will follow.
Is your mic on, Osborne?
Lead me, Lord.
Talk to the Lord.
I will go.
Ask for grace. You have called me and I will answer.
You have called me.
I'm gonna have faith. I'm gonna
tie.
Grant us the grace to follow your great servant Abraham, who obeyed. Help us to obey everything that you say to us. Help us to make that decision that we are believing and we are following you, Lord. And grant us the grace to tithe under all circumstances and all times. In the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you want to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I want you to lift up your right hand. You're saying, as I'm standing here, don't worry about your friend. You want to make that decision. God bless you. I can see your hands. Now, maybe I can't even see you, but your hand is up. Please come to me. We're going to pray one simple prayer together. Just come to me this morning. Just come. You're here. I'm not so sure of my faith, but I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Just come quickly. Just come to me and let us pray together. You're saying that I want to follow Abraham. As Abraham is in heaven, I want the day to come that I will also be in heaven. But right now, Lord, I'm not so sure of where I'm going. Please come to me. The Bible says that what you believe in your heart, you need to confess it. And I want to lead you to confess it so that you will be saved. Come to me, please. Just a minute more. Just a minute more.
Give him your life today. Oh, come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus.
As you are standing, your heart is beating. You are the one that he's calling this morning. Just come to me. I'm just waiting a few more minutes. There's a battle in heaven right now for the soul of somebody. Just come. Don't worry who's by you. Just come. Just come.
To Jesus, give him your life. Give him your life.
Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for calling us and giving us an opportunity. Thank you so much that one day we'll stand in heaven with you. To you indeed be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I feel that there's somebody here, you didn't come. And because of that, I'm going to lead all of us to pray the sinner's prayer. May God have mercy on you. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.